Alright, and welcome to Two Guys, One Sports Show. I'm Josh Alston. I'm here with Caleb Burchett.
What's up, guys?
Today, we are going to be recapping the 2014 NFL Draft, talking NBA playoffs, and MLB, among other things. Let's get it started with the most notable players to be drafted. In the first round, we'll start. As many of you expected, Jadeveon Clowney was the first overall pick by the Houston Texans. Not really a surprise. Probably the best player in the draft, would you say?
Yeah.
So, no shock there. A lot of people were a little surprised that at pick 3, Jacksonville took Blake Bortles.
I mean, I personally was shocked with that one myself. I didn't think he would end up going that high. It was interesting that they decided to stay put and grab their guy there, but I mean, it's their guy, so you can't bash him for it.
Not a surprise, but I'm surprised, I should say, what happened at pick 4. The Browns originally owned pick 4. And they traded down, and the Bills traded up to grab Sammy Watkins, the best receiver in the class. That doesn't surprise me. That's a really good pick. What surprises me is that the Browns traded down.
Yeah, they got a really good offer, so it didn't seem like a surprise at first. But then the next day, with the whole Josh Gordon news coming out, and finding out that they actually knew about that 2 weeks prior to the draft, it's really shocking that they would move down and not take Sammy Watkins at that point.
The next guy that was drafted, notable, is the receiver out of Texas A&M, Mike Evans. He went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, pairing opposite to Vincent Jackson. I think that was a good pick.
Yeah, that was the way they should have went, in my opinion. Eric Ebron was the other guy that was getting consideration for there, and obviously I'm not the hugest Ebron fan, but I mean, even if he was really good, I feel like wide receiver was the way to go for them.
Now, here we are at pick 22, the Cleveland Browns trade back up, and they grab Johnny Manziel.
At this point, I mean, I figured it was going to be Manziel. I was sitting there while we were watching the draft together, hoping and praying that it wasn't Bridgewater. After the draft, it kind of got out that they were actually thinking about going Bridgewater, but decided Manziel last minute. I'm not really buying that. What about you?
No, I don't buy that either. I think that it was Johnny Manziel all the way. If Manziel was there, he was the pick. That's what
I
feel.
Yeah, I thought that was for sure their guy. I mean, it seemed like during the pre-draft process that they were trying to act like they weren't interested in him. Felt like they were trying a little too hard. He was definitely their guy. Bridgewater says he didn't want to play in Cleveland anyway, so, I mean, I guess it's a good thing Manziel was their guy.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say why Teddy Bridgewater felt that Cleveland wasn't a fit for him, but In the end, I think that Manziel is, you know, the right guy. Now, the next notable pick is Teddy Bridgewater. He was falling on most people's draft boards, you know, due to a bad... Was it a bad combine or bad pro day?
Bad pro day. He didn't throw at the combine.
So he was sitting around right at the end of the first round, and the Minnesota Vikings made a move. They traded up to pick 32, the last pick of the first round, originally held by the Seattle Seahawks, and they took Teddy Bridgewater.
I thought it was the best move of the draft, obviously. Teddy was my number one player, and they ended up getting him at 32. I've sung the praises of Teddy Bridgewater throughout this whole time. So, like, obviously, that was my favorite. And then another thing that was pretty notable is a guy that we were actually talking about last podcast during our possible surprises, Dom Easley. He jumped up into the We were talking, I said that I felt like he may end up going in that late first round to either the Seahawks or the 49ers, and I had the Patriots as kind of a backup, which is where he ended up going. I don't think it was a reach. I thought that was actually a pretty good pick for them. He fits their hybrid scheme very well. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good fit. Good call by you, by the way. I don't think it was a reach. You know, guys just, you know, he's had bad luck, you know, being injured like that, but definitely first-round talent. The last notable pick would be Michael Sam.
Probably the most notable pick in the draft behind Manziel.
Yeah, Michael Sam, who is the first openly gay player to be drafted, and assuming that he doesn't get cut, which I don't think he will, he will be the first openly gay player to play in the NFL. He was drafted by the St. Louis Rams in the 7th round.
Huge deal. I mean, he had issues at the combine when they ran him through linebacker drills and stuff, but that's not what he's going to be doing in St. Louis. That was a great spot for him to land. I mean, he went to college in Missouri, so obviously he's around people that he feels comfortable with, so that's obviously one good reason. But with their 4-3 scheme, he's going to be a defensive end, which I think is where he should be. I think he's actually going to be a pretty decent pass rushing specialist when and part of a rotation, and they'll have like a ridiculously dominant rotation there now.
I mean, this guy was the co-SEC Defensive Player of the Year, and he fell to the 7th round.
Yeah, all the way in the 7th round, so that's great value for him. I thought he should have went a bit higher. I mean, I feel like he fell for a couple reasons. Obviously, not that great at workouts, though he was being worked out of position most of the time. And then, I mean, you can say it's right, you can say it's wrong, but obviously some teams passed up on him because they didn't want to deal with the whole media circus, like Tim Tebow, like media circus that's going to be coming around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of teams don't want that. You know, some teams feel that he's probably more of a distraction than, you know, being able to help their football team. He did cause some controversy when he was drafted. It was you know, the draft's televised, you know, and they have camera crews and some of the draftees' homes.
And obviously he would be one of them.
Yeah, and it was shown on live TV, him kissing his boyfriend. What do you make of the criticism he's getting for that?
Now, I think if people are criticizing, like, purely based off him kissing his boyfriend, that's completely wrong. I mean, prospects kiss their girlfriends, wives all the time, and they're not, like, people aren't any worse than we are for having different sexual preferences. I thought it went a little too far when they had the cake, like, kind of eating cake off of each other's face and stuff. That was a bit too far, but I mean, like, I'm not trying to say that just because it was, like, two guys doing it. I mean, once again, coming from a Bengals fan perspective, if A.J. McCarron was licking cake off of Catherine Webb's face, that would still be a little bit too far for television.
Yeah.
So it's not because they're gay or anything, it's just I felt like they may have went a little bit too far, and that's not on Mike Sam, though. That's all on the NFL Network and ESPN for not, like, cutting away from that. But I can understand why people would criticize that part.
Yeah, you know, both of those networks knew that was a possibility. If he were to get drafted, that his boyfriend is obviously going to be there to support him, and that was a possibility. So, do I think the behavior that you know, with the whole licking, you know, the face side, do I think that was appropriate? No. That's on them, but that's also on ESPN, NFL Network. So this,
and they showed it on loop too. Like, they just kept showing it.
They
and
did
showing it and showing it.
You know, this Michael Sam story is not going to go away anytime soon.
Which, I mean, I think it should. I mean, I feel like we probably should be at a point in time now where it doesn't really matter if you're gay or not. It should just be about football. I mean, I don't think Michael Sam should have to come out and say, hey, I'm gay. I think it's a bit ridiculous. But, I mean, we're still in those times where people are uncomfortable with that, so.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but that's just how society is today. Now we're going to move on to draft grades. Caleb spent some time and he gave grades to each team. And we're going to start off with teams from the AFC North.
All right. We'll start off with the Cincinnati Bengals. And by the way, Josh, if you want to throw in any commentary at any point, feel free to interrupt me or anything you want to do.
We'll do.
We'll start off with the Bengals. I gave them an A-, bordering a B+. So, I mean, I kind of wrestled around A-, B+. I ended up giving them an A-. I really like what we've done in the draft a lot. I mean, some people weren't super stoked about it, but then again, a lot worse. So, Darquez Dennard, good fit for the defense. I really liked adding Jeremy Hill to our backfield. Will Clark is a nice project that we can use in a rotation. Bodine was obviously our guy. I felt like we got some good value in that, and then we got some good late rounders as well. I ended up giving the Browns a B-. I liked some of the players that they got. I wasn't a huge fan of Justin Gilbert. As I had already said, he was my fifth corner, and they ended up taking him as the first corner off the board, eighth overall. Manziel, kind of a boom-bust guy, but they got him for a good value.
Yeah, they did.
I liked Betonio. They got some other good later guys in West and Desir. Kirksey will probably play for them a bit, but I felt like instead of taking him, they could have went receiver in that third round, especially after all the Josh Gordon stuff and then Nate Burleson broke his arm. I felt like they should have went receiver, so that's why I lowered the grade a little bit. I also went with a B- for the Ravens, who had some good picks that I liked, but I also had a few issues with their draft team. The big issue I really had was when they took Timmy Jernigan in the second round. Obviously, first-round talent, so it can be said they got a value there, but I thought it was a horrible scheme fit. He's kind of a tweener, 3-tech, 1-tech defensive tackle, which those are both the defensive tackle positions in the 4-3 defense, and the Ravens obviously run a 3-4. I don't think he's going to hold up a nose tackle there. He's not really big enough. He's never played defensive end, so I don't like the scheme fit there. I don't know what they were really thinking. I guess it may have been based off of value. And with the Steelers, I had them with the best grade in the division, gave them an A. I thought their draft was really, really good. They may have reached a little bit for Dree Archer, but he's a pick that I'm not happy about them having. He's a guy who could be hard to defend.
Very hard to defend.
Good value on Stephon Tuitt. He'll be a good part of their D-line rotation. Shazier, if they can teach him how to get off blocks, could be dangerous with his speed. They added Martavis Bryant. He's got a lot of potential, and they got some good late-round picks there, too.
How about the NFC North?
The NFC North, I had the Bears grade out with an A. That's the highest in the division. I really, really liked what they done as well. I actually didn't expect coming to this grading the teams as high as I did, but a lot of teams ended up doing really, really well in their drafts. I thought the Bears made a very good pick with Kyle Fuller. He's a guy that I really liked. Felt like they reached a bit on Ego Ferguson, but then they made it up with getting some good value on Will Sutton. So they also had some things later on in their draft. Let me find them. That I liked, yeah. Kadeem Carey in the fourth.
I like that pick,
adding Brock Vereen, David Fowles. Charles Leno in the seventh round was a fantastic value as well. So it was a really good draft for them. The Lions, I graded out as a C+. Wasn't a huge fan of their draft. I did like some parts of it. Wasn't a fan of Eric Ebron at 10, not a huge fan of his in general, and with Brandon Pettigrew and Joseph Fauria, wasn't a big fan of them adding a tight end. I thought Vannoy was a good pick. Travis Swanson was all right. Felt like they should have addressed their secondary much earlier than they did. They got Nevin Lawson in the fourth round.
I agree.
Felt like they reached on Webster. They got good value in Caron Reed. That was a good pick, but overall, they done some reaches and grabbed some prospects I wasn't a big fan of. So that's why I graded them out with a C+. The Packers, I ended up giving a B-, bordering a C+. Considered giving them one too, but I mean, I felt they also had some reaches like the Lions, but unlike the Lions, they had higher picks that I liked. Like, I wasn't a fan of the Lions first rounder. I was a huge fan of HaHa Clinton Dix at 21. They added some good receivers throughout the draft, and Devontae Adams, Jared Aberderis, and Jeff Janis in the 7th round. Janis will be a guy they'll put on the practice squad to develop. The other two should contribute pretty early. The reaches I was talking about were both in the 3rd round, Kyree Thornton and Richard Rodgers. They felt needs with those picks, but I wasn't a fan of the value at all. Those are guys that probably should have went around the 5th, 6th round. They did get a decent value in Carl Bradford in the 4th, reached a bit for Corey Lindsey. And then their other draft pick was in the 6th round, Demetri Goodson. He's a solid corner to add to their secondary depth. So it wasn't a bad draft. Wasn't a huge fan of it. Gave it a B-. Graded the Vikings a B+. Wanted to go higher because they got my number one guy at 32. Felt like they reached a bit for Barr, though. So, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of that. I'm not really going to question Zimmer on that pick, though. But wasn't a huge fan of the reach for Barr. Let me find them here real quick. I feel like they reached for somebody else as well. Do you want to comment on anything while I try to find the Vikings real quick?
Well, I mean, you know, like you talked about, you gave the Bears the highest grade in the division. You know, I completely agree. I really like the Bears draft. I actually like the Packers draft probably a bit more than you. But I see where you're coming from with your grades.
Another guy I was thinking the Vikings reached for was Jerick McKinnon. But I graded them high with their B+ because they also got some excellent values outside of Bridgewater. They got Scott Crichton in the 3rd, David Yankee in the 5th, Antoine Exum in the 6th. So they were filled out with some excellent value picks as well. So I really like that for them. Had the Bears winning that division with the A.
How about the AFC South?
The Colts weren't super easy to grade because they didn't have any picks to go off of. I ended up giving them a B. They got some decent prospects with what they had. I remember the first pick was Jack Muhort. I wasn't huge on that. I feel like they could have went another direction, got a better offensive line prospect. But, I mean, he is a guy who can fill in at both right tackle and guard spots. Trying to scroll through here and find them.
But you have to like Jack Muhort. He's a Buckeye.
Yeah, all right, there they are. Dante Moncrief, I thought that was a really good pick in the 3rd. They got good value off that. But then outside of that, the 5th, 6th, and 7th were their other picks. They added Jonathan Newsome. And it was a decent selection. Andrew Jackson's selection I liked, and then Ulrich John wasn't. He's obviously, his 7th pick not going to do anything huge, but they didn't have much to grade off of. Gave them a B. The Jaguars had a really good draft. Wasn't a huge fan of the Bortles pick, but I gave them an A- for what they did throughout the draft. Their draft really was kind of like usually when you see those guys, those teams pick a quarterbacks of the future, they'll kind of go through and give them weapons, protections, and stuff through the draft.
Yeah.
That's what Jacksonville did in the 2nd round, grabbing Marquise Lee, which was a great value.
Mm-hmm.
They also added the wide receiver from Penn State. What was his
name? Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson, yeah. He was a really good pick for them. They got some more value picks. Yeah, there they are. Brandon Linder, that wasn't a value pick. It was right where he should have went. Got some good protection. Colvin's a good guy to add. Telvin Smith and Chris Smith in the 5th round were ridiculous value, along with Storm Johnson in the 7th, bringing him with Blake Bortles. So I thought they did a very good job building around their guy. Gave them an A-. The Texans were tied for my top draft. They got an A+. Perfect draft there. Try to scroll through and find them real quick. Do you have any thoughts on the Texans draft before I get into them?
You know, they took the best player in the draft. You know, Jadeveon Clowney, they're gonna, you know, their defensive line, you know, their whole defense, it's still solid. I really like that pick.
Another thing, I found them. What I was gonna say before I could find them was they ended up getting Lewis Nix in the 3rd. He could step in as their starting nose tackle easily. That was great value. a jot for weight concerns. I don't think that'll bother him.
No.
Xavier Suafilo, that was a good addition. Mm-hmm. They ended up getting my boy CJ Fedorowicz. Great pick there. They got their guy in Tom Savage in the fourth. And then added a couple of interesting depth players in Jeffrey Pagan, he's defensive end, and Alfred Blue at running back. Along with Jay Prosh, their new fullback. Greg Jones was a big help there, run blocking for both Arian Foster and Ben Tate. They get probably the best run blocking fullback in the draft. In the seventh round, they got some prospects I felt like should have went higher. They got Andre Howe from Vanderbilt. Very good corner. I think he could contribute as early as day one, part of their rotation. And Mr. Irrelevant, Lonnie Ballantyne, felt like he should have went a lot higher than that. He's got size and speed. But yeah, I love that draft. Gave it an A+. The Titans I graded out as an A. They also had a good draft. Unfortunately, these are really hard to find.
Off the top of my head, I felt the Titans should have taken a quarterback. They did take a quarterback in Zach Mettenberger.
But obviously late, and he has injury concerns. Still scrolling, trying to find him. This list is all jumbled up. Got him. All right. Taylor Lewan, solid pick. Bishop Sankey was one of my favorite backs in the draft. They got him to replace Chris Johnson. They got some good value with Daquan Jones in the fourth round. Ended up getting Marqueston Huff in the fourth round, Avery Williamson in the fifth, and as we already touched on, Zach Mettenberger in the fifth, the sixth. Really liked that draft. Ended up giving them an A+, but obviously the Texans won that with their A+. They won that division.
How about the NFC South?
The NFC South, I started out with the Buccaneers, gave them an A-. Really liked what they'd done in their draft. As we touched on earlier, the Mike Evans pick, I felt that was the way they should have went. But they also added some good depth throughout it, if I can find it. What did you think about the Mike Evans pick?
I really liked the Mike Evans pick. They needed another receiver opposite of Vincent Jackson.
Especially after trading away Mike Williams.
Yeah, after trading away Mike Williams for sure. They also grabbed Alston Seferian Jenkins.
Yeah, that's who I just came up on. The second round, I really liked that pick. Really liked Charles Sims. They had a lot of running back injuries, so they could use some guys there. Felt that I had to knock their grade down a little bit. They reached a bit for two offensive linemen, Kadeem Edwards and Kevin Pamphile, but it was in the fifth round. Didn't really matter too much. And they got Robert Huron, the wide receiver from Wyoming, in the sixth. I thought that was great value. He could have went as high as the third, fourth round range. Moving on in that division, gave the Falcons a B+. They ended up doing what I thought they should have done, which I was mentioning when we were doing our mocks. They grabbed Jake Matthews instead of Taylor Lewan. Thought that was a great pick.
In the
second round, they ended up getting Rashid Hageman. Both those guys should contribute early. Some of the reasons it got knocked down to a B+, they had a decent bit of reaches. Desmond Southward in the third, Prince Shimbo in the fourth. Those were two pretty big reaches. They made up for it a bit. They got Yawan Smallwood in the seventh. He was a good value, but they had some reaches, and it wasn't the best draft. It was a really good draft, though, so they got a B+. Gave the Panthers a C. Borderline C+. Ended up going with a C. I could end up being wrong. I mean, I was wrong about Cam Newton. So, obviously, I could end up being wrong. They grabbed Kelvin Benjamin, not a big fan of his. They got decent value out of Coney Ealy, but not a big fan of his either. They didn't I like Trey Turner in the third as an offensive guard, but they didn't take a offensive tackle at all in that draft. So I wasn't the biggest fan of that. As I said, they needed one.
They did.
Byron Bell's probably going to be playing left tackle for them at this point, unless they sign somebody. I gave the Saints a C minus. They were my second lowest grade. I mean, the lowest grade was a C minus, but they were kind of like C minus, borderline C. Really liked what they'd done, moving up and adding Brandon Cooks. Not the hugest Stanley Jean-Baptiste fan, but I mean, it's right around where he should have went. If they can turn him into something, that's a good pick. Felt like they reached a bit for Kari Fort and Vinny Sinceri. And then obviously they got Ronald Powell was a decent pick in the fifth. They closed it out with Devon Rooks, a borderline draftable prospect. Wasn't a huge fan of that.
How about the AFC East?
The Bills had my best grade in that division with an A minus. I thought they had a really, really good draft. I was thinking about giving it an A and ended up giving it the A minus because they had to get rid of their first-round pick next year to move up. Wasn't a big fan of everything they gave up, but they ended up adding Sammy Watkins. Cyrus Kwanjo's somewhat of a risk, but if it pays off, it's going to really pay off. They added some solid depth in Preston Brown, Ross Cockrell. They got big on that O-line. Besides Cyrus Kwanjo, they also added Sauer Richardson in the fifth. That was good value, and they added Chantrell Henderson in the seventh, obviously a boom bust guy, but if he fails, he's not going to be considered a bust being picked in the seventh round. I ended up giving the Dolphins a B. I wanted to go lower than the B because Juwan James was one of the worst picks in the draft, but they actually followed that horrible day one up with a solid draft. They ended up getting Jarvis Landry and Billy Turner in the second day. Like Billy Turner as a developmental guy, started him out at offensive guard. Jarvis Landry reminds me a lot of Hines Ward. And then they got some more solid depth on the third day with Walt Akins, Arthur Lynch, Jordan Tripp, Matt Hazel, and Terrence Fadee. So I really liked all of those picks. That's why they got bumped up a little bit than what I wanted to give them because of the Juwan James reach. But they ended up with a B. I gave the Jets a C+. They had some picks I liked, but they didn't address the wide receiver position as early as I wanted them to. They also had some reaches. I remember they reached for Jalen Saunders. They reached for somebody else after him when they added him. I'm in the end, so let's just find him real quick. Shaq Evans, got him in the 4-2. I like Shaq Evans a lot, but it was still somewhat of a reach, and they should have addressed it earlier. Dex McDougal was a huge reach in the third. I mean, he has some talent, so he may live up to that position, though. They got a couple of decent value. I like Jason Mora in the second. Calvin Pryor was a solid first-rounder. Felt like they probably should have added an offensive weapon, though. Dakota Dozier was a solid pick. Taj Boyd's an interesting one.
It is.
He'll fit in well with Mike Vick and Geno Smith there. But so they had some solid picks, but they also had a lot of huge reaches, and they didn't address receiver. I gave the Patriots a solid B. Lots of people didn't like this draft. I was a fan of it. Wasn't a huge fan of it. Usually hate the Patriots draft every year because usually they're drafting nothing but like Rutgers backups and reaching for everybody, and it's just ridiculous. But they were the team that grabbed Dom Easley. Maybe a little bit of a reach, but I don't think anybody else fit their scheme as well as he does. I remember they grabbed James White in the fourth. Felt like they could have went somewhere else. With another running back, I mean, someone else, I should have said. But he was a decent pick. Brian Stork should be able to contribute at center. They didn't have much at that position. Jimmy Garoppolo was an interesting pick. What do you think about that one?
It was. You know, Tom Brady's getting up there. They have Ryan Mallett, but you know, this is going to be his last year under contract. There's talk of Ryan Mallett being traded. You know, they needed a backup. Garoppolo wouldn't it have been my first choice, but nonetheless, I think it was a good pick for the Patriots.
After James White in the fourth, they actually killed it, in my opinion. Solid value on Cameron Fleming. Then in the sixth round, they ended up picking up three guys I thought should have went a lot higher, and John Jalapio, Zach Moore, and Jamia Thomas. In the seventh, they rounded it out, giving Tom Brady a nice little tough slot receiver and Jeremy Gallen. And so they ended up getting a B in my book.
How about the NFC East?
I didn't have the NFC East doing too well as a whole. I had the Cowboys with a B+, and that was the highest grade. kind of wanted to give him a friggin' A-plus for passing on Johnny Manziel, where they were supposed to take him, and they ended up getting a guy I liked in Zach Martin. But in all seriousness, they did have a good draft. They got Zach Martin. Let me find them real quick and see who else they added. DeMarcus Lawrence was in the second round, like that pick. Felt like the Anthony Hitchens pick in the fourth was a huge reach. They added your guy, Devin Street, in the fifth.
Big fan of Devin Street. Right around
where you said he would go. And then in the seventh, they got some value picks. They got Ben Gardner, a guy who would have won a lot higher without being injured. And then added to their secondary was safety Ahmad Dixon out of Baylor. And Terrence Mitchell, the corner of Oregon, who started across from the guy really late next year, Ifo Ekpre-Alomu. Both those guys were really good picks. Really, really good picks. Great value in the seventh. They ended up coming away with the B+. They were my highest graded team in that division. The Eagles got a B-. The Marcus Smith pick was a reach. Not sure why they moved down and kind of left Darquez Dennard there for us to grab. Felt like that was the point where he was going to go off the board.
Agree.
They added a receiver in the second round. Which one did they add? Let's find the list. I really hate how this list is ordered. All right, got it. Jordan Matthews. Yeah, Jordan Matthews was a good pick. Josh Huff, not shocking, an Oregon guy, but yeah. He was a reach. Pretty big reach. Another Oregon guy in the fifth, Taylor Hart, that's right around where he should have went. And I really liked the Jalen Watkins pick in the fourth. I thought that was a good pick. Felt like they should have went corner a little bit higher than that. That was a good pick there, though. I gave the Giants a B- as well. Completely blew my mind that they passed on Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I was surprised also.
I like Odell Beckham as a prospect a lot, so I mean, I can't fault him too much. But with their needs at defensive tackle, I was absolutely shocked that they passed on Aaron Donald. I don't remember the rest of their draft being really like something to write home about as well. Trying to find them on here. This is a horrible list. All right, I'm just going to start going off the top of my head from now because we're taking up way too much time. Yeah, I was pretty shocked that they passed on Aaron Donald, but the rest of their draft wasn't super spectacular. Ended up giving them a B-. The Redskins got a solid B. They had some decent value picks, and Morgan Moses, I remember they got him in the third. That was a good pick. Trent Murphy from Stanford, they ended up getting him in the second. It's probably right around where he should have went. He's a nice guy to have behind Kerrigan and Arakpo.
Yeah.
Felt like they probably should have added more of a contributor instead of depth that early, but that's the way I went with them. Moving on to the AFC West, I gave the Broncos a B. Felt their draft was solid, not super spectacular. Brad Roby, good pick, but risky pick. He could end up paying off. We'll see. I gave the Chargers a B as well. They had, but their B was one of those borderlines. I was considering B+ there. They ended up grabbing a guy really liking Jason Barrett, and then the second round going back and adding Jeremiah Adicho. So he was a really good pick. The Chiefs almost gave him a B-. Ended up giving them B. Felt they reached for a couple prospects throughout the drafts. Don't exactly remember who those guys were. Not going to try to find it on that awful list. I remember they grabbed D Ford in the first.
They did, yeah.
Figured they would have went receiver there. Ford's a good guy to get, though. Tom Bahali's up there in age.
Mm-hmm.
Ford's going to be a good guy to pair with Justin Houston to rush the passer. The Raiders were the other team to get the A+. Fantastic draft all throughout. They added Khalil Mack at 5. Couldn't believe they got him. They got their future quarterback, Derek Carr, in the second. I remember they added just... I wasn't disappointed with any of their picks at all throughout the whole draft. They got an A+. The Cardinals, they got a B-. You remember what the Cardinals did? I don't remember too much what they did.
No, not off the top of my head.
This list was awful. Appreciate the idea of the list, but it was hard to scroll through trying to do this at the same time. But yeah, I ended up giving the Cardinals a B-. Cardinal fans, you know what you did. If you hate my grade, yell at me or something. The 49ers, I gave them an A. Came close to giving them an A+. They added some really good talent. Frank Gore, not young. They have a lot of running backs, but still Carlos Hyde was a pretty solid value deal. Jimmy Ward, obviously they signed Antoine Bethea, but once again, he's not young either. And they added some solid guys all throughout their draft. The Rams, I ended up giving an A-, came close to giving them an A. They were having a perfect draft. I remember they nailed it. Greg Robinson, Aaron Donald. They had a second-round pick I really liked too. Oh, LaMarcus Joyner.
Yeah.
That was a kind of like their Tyrann Mathieu. In the third round, they ended up picking Trey Mason. And then out of nowhere in the fourth round, they kind of blew it. They grabbed a safety that wasn't really up that range. He was probably more of a seventh-round undrafted guy. But then after that, they got right back on track. But that huge reach, I ended up having to knock them down to an A-. And then last, but certainly not least, Super Bowl champion. So the Seahawks, I wanted to give them a D+. I didn't. Gave them a C-. I felt like the majority of their draft was reaches. I liked the Paul Richardson addition. Justin Britt was a guy they probably could have gotten much later. And I recall them reaching for a few more prospects throughout the mid-rounds.
I just want to chime in and say that the Aaron Murray pick for the Chiefs, I think that was a really good pick.
Yeah, I agree. I wonder if the Bengals, that the team is really interested in Aaron Murray, I wonder if we would have took him over McCarron.
You know, I'm not so sure. If we were as high on Murray as I've heard, then I think that probably would have been the pick. But nonetheless, the Chiefs got Aaron Murray, and you know, I think it's a great pick. Right now, they have Alex Smith. He's not young.
In the last year of his contract, they have a very similar situation to us. Actually,
they do. Yeah.
Both Alex Smith and Andy Dalton are kind of those game manager quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They haven't done particularly well in the playoffs. Had great regular seasons, kind of just faded out in the playoffs, and then coincidentally enough, both teams added two young guys in Aaron Murray and AJ McCarron, who may or may not challenge for the job. They may get a shot after it if one of the two aren't re-signed. But I wish I could have got more in-depth there like I done with some of the earlier teams, but that list was just taking way too much time to scroll through. So we'll move on after that.
We each went and we picked a team that we really liked, their draft, and a team we didn't like. The team that I liked was, you know, Caleb already touched on, was the Rams. I thought it was an absolute steal to get Aaron Donald. And then in the seventh round, they added Michael Sam, very young, athletic, mean, nasty defensive line they have there. And then, you know, they took some offensive linemen. They took Greg Robinson, you know, to protect the QB. Trey Mason was a good pick. LaMarcus Joyner. I really like the Rams draft.
I agree, and I completely see why you liked it. They were one of my higher graded teams. Came close to the A, like I said. Besides that reach, they would have got an A. My two highest grades went to the Texans and Raiders. They both got A+. If I have to pick one, I'm picking the Texans. They got tremendous value when it came to Lewis Nix, and they just, like, both the Raiders and the Texans done a fantastic job going all the way through, not missing on a pick. Wonderful picks for both teams.
The team that I didn't like that you said you did like was the Tennessee Titans. I felt they needed to take a quarterback within the first couple rounds. They waited. They took Zach Mettenberger.
Got some potential, but
he has potential. Yeah, you
got
know,
a cannon arm.
He's coming off an injury.
Injury prone. Red flag for the back injury as well.
All they have really, they have Jake Locker, he's injury prone as well. I felt like they needed to address the quarterback position early. They didn't. I felt like they should have taken a wide receiver. They didn't, I guess, Kendall Wright and Justin Hunter are their 1-2, which both guys are still young. Kendall Wright had an awesome year last year, over 1,000 yards receiving. But I just felt like they should have taken a receiver. I wasn't as big on the Titans draft as you were.
My loser, obviously the team I just graded the lowest. I just touched on them, so don't really need to break into it too much. The Seahawks. Seahawks fans, if you want to go ahead and tell me that you guys grab guys that fit your scheme, that's fine. I agree with you, but you could do it a lot later than you do. You reach every single year. Not really trying to bash the Seahawks. Obviously, they just won a Super Bowl, so you can't like bang on them too much, but a lot of their prospects for reaches could have grabbed some better players than they did.
Yeah, I agree. Now we're going to move on to some NFL news. If you hadn't heard, Joe Hayden got a contract extension
from
the Cleveland Browns today.
Got the numbers right here. It's a 5-year extension, keeps him on the team through 2019, worth $68 million total. $45 million of that's guaranteed, and $23 million of that is fully guaranteed.
Do you think they overpaid?
It's hard to say. They paid a lot. I don't necessarily think they overpaid. You have to pay a lot for premium talent. He pretty much shuts down everybody he covers. AJ Green knows that. The only guy I've really watched him struggle with too much is Antonio Brown, is the guy that gives him fits. But, I mean, obviously, every time they play us, AJ Green can do nothing against him. One of the top corners in the league, young. I don't think they overpaid, but I will say they paid a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
They had money.
Yeah, they did. They had money to spend. I think Joe Hayden, he's for sure the face of their defense, maybe the face of their whole franchise. I don't want to say they overpaid. They paid a lot, but he is a shutdown corner, and they needed to re-sign him.
These days.
Now, let's move on to another contract situation. It's being reported that the Bengals have reached out to Andy Dalton
and sent a, quote, significant offer. If we re-sign Andy before the end of the season, it has its benefits and it has its downfalls. The downfall being, if we sign him to a long-term deal and he proves to continue to choke throughout the playoffs, we're going to be stuck with him. We can bench him, but we're still paying him a lot of money to sit on the bench. But an upside to this is definitely something. I mean, obviously we want it to happen, but it would not be good cap-wise, is if he pulls a Joe Flacco on us and just goes all out, kind of gets somewhat carried by our defense to the Super Bowl, say we win one, would be fantastic.
Agree.
But we're going to have to pay him like Super Bowl winning quarterback, and the Ravens have lost a lot of players because of that, and Flacco hasn't proved to be worth the money he's being paid right now. So I hope it's not too much, but I'm in the camp that would rather get Dalton extended before the season.
You know, I agree, and it looks like it will happen. If the Bengals were ready to move on from Andy Dalton, they would have taken a quarterback much sooner in the draft than they did. They took A.J. McCarron.
Like him as a safety net, but yeah, Obviously he's not our plan going forward.
A.J. McCarron could push Andy Dalton, give Andy Dalton, some extra fire to, play better, so he, stays a starter, gets that contract extension. I just don't want the Bengals to overpay. But I'm one of those people who, if the team wants it, then I want it. Real quick, let's touch on the Justin Blackmon situation.
Yeah, it came out today that Blake Bortles got his locker, and that locker happens to be the locker of Justin Blackmon, a guy who's suspended for the season. The Jaguars went and drafted two receivers in the second round, so it looks like his days in Jacksonville are numbered. I don't think they'll get too much for him. I could see them maybe pulling in a mid-round pick, fifth round, maybe sixth round pick is more likely. I mean, I think a fourth is the most they could hope for.
Yeah, I mean, his days in Jacksonville are pretty much numbered. I think Justin Blackmon is a really good receiver. I mean, he proved that in college.
Lots of problems.
He has lots of problems. And he hasn't quite performed up to where he can. He hasn't really had anyone to throw him the ball in Jacksonville. But they now have Blake Bortles, and he has off-the-field issues and is suspended, you know, so that's his own fault. I think his days in Jacksonville are numbered. Now let's move on to the NBA playoffs. Last night, the Miami Heat took a 3-1 lead on the Brooklyn Nets.
The LeBron Jameses took a
3-1 LeBron
lead. Nobody on that team had more than 15 points, and LeBron put up 49.
LeBron put the Heat on his back, and he won that game. I think the Heat will win the next game and win the series 4-1.
I agree with you.
The San Antonio Spurs are up 3-1 on the Trailblazers. The Trailblazers had to win. They did. I still think the Spurs will win the series.
I agree. I like the Blazers as a young team. They have a lot of talent, but the Spurs are tons of veterans, and they know what to do while they're here, and I think they'll for sure. I don't think they'll give up the series at all. Being up 3 games, I don't see them giving up 4 in a row.
The Indiana Pacers are up 3-1 on the Washington Wizards. I think that series will be over by our next show for sure. I mean, all the series will, but is that game tonight? I believe that game's tonight.
I think so, yeah.
I think
it is one of the two. The next two are the games that are tonight.
The Pacers will win. And then the most competitive series going on right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Los Angeles Clippers, that's a battle.
I agree. I think the Thunder do end up coming out on top. Going back to the Pacers and Wizards real quick, the Pacers had some struggles in their last series. But I don't think that's going to continue. Like you said, I do think they will end the series. I'm not sure if they'll end it tonight, but I do think they'll end it within the next few games. Like you said, the Thunder Clippers, it's a complete battle.
That series could go 7. It's tied at 2 right now. I can definitely see that series going to 7.
I'm hoping it does. But I think Durant and Westbrook will eventually end up stepping up, and they will win the series for the Thunder.
I can't pick a winner, but I will say I think the winner of the Thunder Clippers beats the Spurs, because I think the Spurs get there, and I think the winner of the Thunder Clipper series goes to the NBA Finals.
I can agree with that. As we were talking about the Spurs being veterans, which also puts them up there. And we were talking about the Blazers as, like, a young team.
Yeah.
But the Thunder and Clippers, they have some young athletes, but they also, Durant, Westbrook for the Thunder, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul. So they also have some leaders that have been there before as well. So I can agree with you. I think the winner of that series meets the Heat in the finals for sure.
Now let's talk about a couple firings. Mike Brown is once again out in Cleveland.
I approve of it. I like both moves that were made. The David Griffin made as the permanent general manager. I like that. He's done well. I've really liked him getting Spencer Hall's. I approve of the Mike Brown firing. It's not something that I was necessarily calling for, but I approve of it, and there are a lot of good options out there. We were discussing it when the firing happened.
Yeah. Some names being thrown around. You know, Tom Izzo, he's always thrown around in Cleveland.
Don't think he ends up coming.
No.
Would be a good hire.
Mark Jackson, George Karl, both names are being thrown around.
Mark Jackson, we're going to touch on next. He would be a good hire for the Cavs. I'd like to see that. George Karl, I think, is a real possibility. A guy who wanted a job in our front office. Not sure how those are going along right now. He's I mean, there's still a chance he gets hired as president. Haven't heard much about it after it was brought up, but he's a guy that I'd like to see come in and coach as well for us. So there's definitely a lot of good options out there.
Now let's touch on Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson led the Golden State Warriors to back-to-back playoff appearances for the first time since 2007. He won 98 games in being there those 2 years. Now, he was there in 2011, 2012. They didn't make playoffs. But I think he was let go too early.
I agree. I don't think they should have fired him. Not sure if they're going to upgrade him on a replacement. I don't think he's really upgradable. Like we said, a guy I'd like to see in Cleveland, so obviously I think it was a bad move to fire him.
One guy being talked about there, though, is the next guy we're going to be talking about, Stan Van Gundy.
Stan Van.
He's being talked about to two teams, the Pistons and the Warriors. I think he'd be a great fit with the Warriors. The Warriors remind me a little bit of the Magic. They shoot a lot of threes. Orlando shot a lot of threes. But Orlando had Dwight Howard. Andrew Bogut is no Dwight Howard. But I still think Stan Van Gundy would be a great fit there.
I agree. That would be a good fit. Still, like we already said, I don't think they should have fired Mark Jackson. But if they're going to get a replacement, Stan Van would be a very... If they're going to get an equal replacement, I should say, Stan Van would be a very good guy to bring in.
Stan Van Gundy was offered total control over the Pistons. I mean, complete total control.
Which is probably something that may be able to steer him away from taking the more coveted Golden State job.
It's not like Detroit doesn't have talent.
Oh, they do. They have a lot of young talent. They need somebody to put it together, get them a game plan. Stan Van's a guy to do that.
Yeah.
It'd be a very good hire for them. One more coach that we didn't have on our list that I'd like to touch on, Mike D'Antoni.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that is being discussed as being brought in as an offensive coordinator for the Cavaliers. How would you feel about that? He has his issues as a coach. Runs a great offense, though.
Yeah, I just think he was put in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good coach, and I'd be for the hire.
I would love it.
Now we're going to move on to some baseball. We're going to talk the standings right now. Leading the National League Central are the surprising Milwaukee Brewers. At the start of the season, it was supposed to be the Cardinals, the Pirates, and the Reds. And the Pirates are as far as 7.5 games back. Milwaukee, 24 wins, 10 games over 500, leading the Central.
Should be a good division race at the end.
It should.
Especially when we get healthy.
The NL East, the Atlanta Braves, no shocker, they're in first place. It's a very tight division, though. The Phillies are in last place in that division, but they're only 3.5 games out.
Not too far behind at all. Should be a fun division to watch develop throughout the season.
The NL West, the Giants are leading. The Giants are having a phenomenal season. The best record in baseball right now. The Rockies are 2.5 games back. The Dodgers 4.5. But that's it. I think it'll be a 3-team race for sure there.
I agree.
Over to the American League. The American League East. That's another tight division. Tampa Bay is the last place team there. They're 5.5 games back of Baltimore. And, it's just a really tight division. I think that it's good. That's one of those divisions that it seems like it always comes down.
Every year.
Yeah, to the end. The AL Central, the Tigers, they're out in first place. Not really a close division at all. Everybody's pretty much about 6 games back from the Tigers.
I think throughout the season they'll keep that going.
The AL West, Oakland is in first place, with Seattle, LA, and Texas all within four games. Houston's the only team really out of that division so far. That's another one of the divisions between LA, Texas, and Oakland, I think, will go down to the end. All right, now let's talk returns. The other night, the Cuban Missile, Aroldis Chapman, returned for the first time since being line-drived in the head, getting a steel plate put in his head.
Fast. It was fast return for everything that happened. Great for us. Great to see him back.
I actually went to the Reds-Rockies game on Saturday when Chapman was activated, and I was shocked that he was already coming off the DL. And I knew he was close because he had been throwing, but he had only threw two times that I knew of. Mm-hmm. Wanted to see Chapman that night.
Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. Didn't work out. 11-2. Whooping. Pitched the next night, though.
He did.
Hit the hundreds.
Every time except for once. That was a 99-mile-per-hour fastball.
It's ridiculous how he was fast clocked, he's came back.
He was clocked at 100, throwing at 103 miles per hour.
I love that guy.
Just months. A few months after having a steel plate inserted into his head.
And, like, even if you're not a Reds fan, you have to respect that.
You know, and that's just got to give the Reds some momentum, getting your closer like that back, you know, and having him come out and dominate the Rockies. He struck out, he faced four batters, walked to first, and then struck the next three out to end the game. It's just, it's like a remarkable story. I'm shocked how fast that he's came back from such a, really a devastating injury. All right, and we're going to touch on some NASCAR real quick. I'm going to touch on some NASCAR. Caleb doesn't know. He doesn't watch NASCAR. I'll be doing all the NASCAR on every show pretty much, unless we have a guest, Jimmy. The Sprint All-Star Race is Saturday night. It's always a fun race to watch. Going to give the top five in the Sprint Cup standings. Jeff Gordon is your leader. He's coming off a nice win last week. Followed by Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Carl Edwards. Those are your top five. NASCAR season goes all the way into October, November. And I wanted to touch on it early because when we get into those months, those are football months.
Yeah, we'll try to find a way to fit it in. We've already discussed this before. When football's going on, we're doing previews, talking news and everything. It's going to be hard to fit some stuff in. We'll try to find a way. How much more time do we have on the show?
We're just about out of time. Something I want to touch on real quick is we know, like we said last week, we know our bio on Twitter says that we're going to be coming at you on with our shows on Fridays.
That'll be mostly established when football season gets here.
Yeah. Tuesday tonight, obviously. And next week, Tuesday.
Didn't want to wait super long till after the draft.
Yeah. So we're going to be coming at you on Tuesdays, pretty much. We're going to have an off week. I'm going to be on vacation.
We have to get that show in Tuesday on that week because you're leaving Wednesday.
Yeah. So we'll be coming at you on Tuesdays. And then in the fall, we'll be coming at you on Fridays. With football, pretty much. But we're going to fit other stuff in.
We'll try as hard as we can to fit everything in. Before we get off, I'd like to mention the Premier League just ended. Manchester City won the title, second time in 3 years. It wasn't a super close race towards the end. It was them or Liverpool, and they had a pretty big advantage over Liverpool. Liverpool needed some stuff to fall into their favor, kind of like how Pittsburgh needed a lot of different things to fall into favor to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Liverpool needed some things to fall into their favor to win the league. everything finished out pretty much the way we would expect, besides Man U slipping all the way down to 7th place. That was a bit shocking, but it was a really fun season to watch, and I'm really excited for it to come back in August.
Notice that was just Caleb talking. I don't watch the Premier League.
Yeah, a little bit, though.
I know a little bit about the Premier League. I don't watch a whole lot. I can talk soccer, though. I can talk, you know, I'll be talking about Barca some.
We're going to have World Cup this
summer. World Cup, for sure.
We'll cover that.
You know, Olympic soccer, you know, all that stuff. But like we said, I'll be coming at you with NASCAR, and he'll be coming at you with Premier League. So, all right, well, that looks like we are out of time for this podcast.
I'll time this on my phone next time, by the way, so we'll have a better view of how much time we've taken.
We'll be back next Tuesday. This podcast, it was really fun just to how we did a mock last week, and then to see, you know, how some of our picks played out. It was just really fun, and you know, and I'm glad we got to get into some other sports
this time. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm Josh Olson.
I'm Caleb Burchett.
And we'll see you next time.